Hello and welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler, and well, after a shaky win against Forest last Saturday, it was on to Crystal Palace on Tuesday night to hopefully carry on and get something out of that game. Fortunately, it wasn't to be. So this week I have Mick McQuillan, Tony Cullen, Johnny Pearl to have a chat about the last few days and the managerial situation as it stands at the moment. Hope you enjoy it.
Excuse me, Tony.
Mick, good evening. How are you?
Not too bad.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think Johnny said he'd be with us. I didn't. TC, I'm assuming, will be. I think he's coming in now. Gary is the lucky sod, is away in sunny climes. So he was going to join us, but he, his friends over there arranged a little evening out. So that's just talking about Gary, Tony. So he's gone with them, so he won't be able to join us. Yeah, it was kind of a last minute. Faulkner rang me today about the train strike on the 5th of November, because he's over for the Brighton game. So he's like, oh, what are we going to do? So he says, don't worry, we'll arrange a taxi or something. Getting from the airport to Wolverhampton won't be a problem, because we're all in around 8:30, I think, so we'll have plenty of time to get there. It's just evening time, I think, that the Brighton game is 8:10 flight back, so we'll probably have to get a taxi or something.
Yeah, I'll organise Uber or something.
Yeah, I think we'd have to.
That's 3 o'clock kickoff, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll manage it okay. I mean, there's no point trying to get a tram into Birmingham and a taxi or something from there. I think we'll just go. If we have, Jacinta was on last night. I think she was looking at maybe going over to it as well. So we told her train strike, so she'd be happy enough to get a taxi. So if we got a mini, the 8-seater or something, you know, it should.
Yeah.
It would do it for us, you know. Anyway, we'll always end up talking about blooming travel arrangements. You nearly managed to get a chat in about the game sometimes, you know. Saturday morning was okay, was it? Yeah. Well, for me anyway, lads. Hey, with a big grin on my face here, both flying with Aer Lingus. I had a great time on Saturday over and back, lads. It took me 2 seconds to say 6:30 flight, 7:15 into Birmingham, and even 8:05 train in Wolverhampton. It was different being able to travel on my own and arriving on my own and sit hanging around and, you know, nice and quietly around. Your flight was on time, was it? Mick, you were East Midlands, yeah?
Yeah, mine's grand. I took off about 5 minutes late, but from pushback at that time, but it took about 8:30 again she took off, because she was in the queue pattern. So there was a good few flights going out at that time, but it was overlanded and all at 9:15. I was on the coach heading from East Midlands to up to Derby.
Yeah.
They were there about 10:10. Now, I missed the 10:10 train, but there was another train at 10:30. So I was in Wolverhampton. I was in Birmingham 11:05, and I was up in Wolverhampton at 11:25, and I bumped into James on the train to Wolverhampton then. Go to Witherspoons and had something to eat and bumped into the chap Matthews and his wife and that. So
Ronnie, yeah.
Good cover the crack, you know.
Yeah. You were okay, Tony, yeah.
I was on the 7:15 out of Dublin into Birmingham, and I met Jimmy and Noel. Well, I met Noel at the airport, and then I met Jimmy and the in at the gate. We were in the 200, so we didn't have far to walk at all. So I think we're a couple of minutes late leaving, but other than that, it was fairly painless.
Yeah, it was nice for the change, really.
Flight was very full.
Yeah.
Over and then I got the Preston train up. So I don't know what time was in Wolverhampton at 10:30, was it? No, earlier than that.
Oh, before that, yeah, because I was in having breakfast, so it must have been about 9:30, I'd say.
Yeah, it could have been.
So because funny enough, Aer Lingus, the plane was probably half full, you know. Don't know how they managed to do it. Ryanair seemed to get the numbers of people in anyway. But so we had a quiet couple of points in McGee's. Good crowd with the Northern lads as well over. So nice atmosphere there. I didn't manage to get down to the lounge, even though that was my plan. We were waiting for the lads to come in to give them tickets and all that, but sure. Anyway, Noel did the honours on my behalf anyway. Instead of HR. But Johnny, welcome. How are you?
Very good.
Not too bad now. would have been a bit better if Wolves had won last night, but
yeah, Albert,
can't get Everton.
We haven't got that far yet. No. We'll talk about the Saturday's game. It was the lineup was probably what we'd expected with Collins still out. We had Totti again and being so the usual, I suppose. I'll get all your views, but I suppose mine was that the usual, we started off as if, you know, we might score a goal and we'd, you know, plenty of attacking. I think myself and Mick kind of agreed when we were talking there yesterday that, you know, Forest are probably one of the worst teams we've witnessed in the Premier League anyway in our time there. Yeah, Mick, what was your thoughts on the game, first half?
The game, I thought it was a game we controlled even start to finish, but except for the last 10 minutes, but they were absolutely poisoned, they were, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were by far the better side, I thought, but about 10 minutes ago when Totti actually scored that ball, for the next 10 minutes, oh, Jesus, panic. We seemed to be shitting ourselves everywhere.
Yeah.
The balls were going anywhere. We lost control of the game and we were hanging on at the finish there, you know.
Yeah.
Against a very poor side.
Yeah. You know? I thought that Neves, not in particular, but it kind of summed up the performance for me, was in, I think it would be about 20 minutes to go, and he was inside our half twice in the space of seconds. He had the ball and he gave it straight back to them, yeah. You know, which was very unlike him. So he was trying to cover
well,
it all.
I think what it might have been, Tony, I think there was so much pressure on him to get that result.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And you could see it on the, like, after the match, they're on the ground, some of them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just to get that win. That's what I thought, you know. And I thought that you know, it was a huge change around last night, you know.
Yeah, we'll talk about last night.
Yeah.
when we get there. Tony, what were your thoughts overall on Saturday's game?
Yeah, I think I'd agree with you. I think Forest probably one of the worst teams we've ever seen in the Premier League, certainly this season and maybe previous seasons. They were very poor. But we couldn't break them down either, you know, and that game could have ended a 1-0 draw, or we could have lost it.
Yeah.
If you know, we'd missed our penalty and they'd scored theirs.
Yeah. Or probably nil all, probably if VAR hadn't have stuck its nose in.
Yeah. And I watched the game on Match of the Day on Sky. I got the 30-minute highlights and yeah. I couldn't see how either of them were penalties. I know it might have touched the arm.
Yeah.
But the one last night looked a bit more obvious, but I suppose it depends which angle you look to that. But we'll probably get to that. But I think Neves giving the ball away, and I think with about 10 minutes to go, he just got the ball and he lashed it into the Forest half.
Yeah.
And we probably were hanging on.
Yeah.
We were hanging on.
It's just kind of, as you know, with Neves as our captain and kind of leader and our best player, that when you see him doing that, you get a bit more worried than you normally be, you know?
Yeah. And but, then when 8 minutes came up, was it?
Yeah, 8 minutes. Yeah. Yeah. I missed a few of them.
Came up, I was thinking, and those 8 minutes, they lasted. I know he probably played a bit extra because there was a bit of time with.
He played near 10, I think. Yeah. But I was on my way to the station. After the third minute, I was gone to the station anyway. So, and I didn't hear a roar, so I didn't know whether that was good or bad. Johnny, yeah. Are you still? You watched the game at home, yeah?
Yeah, watched the game at home. Similar to the lads, really, was as far as their poor side. Like, you know, we played well in patches, but just couldn't. I suppose Kelman hit the post, that goes in, we kind of have a bit more control, but we kind of just seemed to lose our shape the last 10 minutes, and probably because there was a lot of pressure in getting the 3 points. Like, if we had drawn that game or even lost it, it would have been a disaster, really. So just getting the 3 points is kind of all that matters, really, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's one of my main points, I think. It was great to get them. Yeah, so I mean, I suppose, as you say, 3 points were got. It kind of moved us up a little bit up the table and gave us a bit of breathing space. So then came last night. I won't go into your delay, lads, on Saturday night getting home. Since I was home at 10 o'clock, I won't put you through the misery of Noel texting me to say he was, I think it was 1 in the morning and he got home. I know your bus, Mick, got you probably 2 o'clock. But,
about 1 when I got home, maybe 1:15.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was nice to get home before midnight for the first time, probably the first time this season, I'd say. What can you say?
They don't tell you. Ryanair, they're just not Like, they knew that flight was delayed hours before.
But I was...
They just didn't tell
Tony, that's the fifth time that flight has been late. And it hasn't been... It's been an hour and a quarter, an hour and a half. They sent me over. They sent me out the thing, probably sent it yourselves. They sent, you know, sorry about the delay and all that, and asked me to fill in a form. And I lifted them out. You know,
I did that.
They know well enough that flight is late all the time, and it advertised the proper time.
You're not going to win the €100, Mick. You're not
going to
win the €100
with
that sort of reply.
Yeah, but the people that threw it in, it might help to change their views. If no one does it, you know, they just carry on with it.
Well, I noticed I would double check for the Brighton game next month, like the 10 past 8 is the last flight in the evening. So, but no, I was in, I'm not rubbing it in again, lad, sorry. But when I was in Birmingham Airport on Saturday night, I mean, I went in, I got a BK, and I was sitting there and I looked at the screen, and that was about 7:15. And at that stage, your flight was delayed to the 10:15, you know? And that's what was going on at that stage. Like, I mean, geez, sure, it probably wouldn't have hardly even left Alicante at that stage, or if that's the usual route that it was taking. But, you know, so, I mean, they know it's not, the schedule is messed up, and it's never going to be leaving at 10 o'clock, you know? But, like, still and all, you say, after a long day, you don't want to be seeing that. But anyway, here's to Aer Lingus. Anyway, right, last night, we might as well get through the gory details of last night. I'd have to say probably everybody was taken by surprise by the lineup. And it was interesting, I think it was my word. And that was your word you used to use about Steve Davis when you're the snooker, if you remember. But it was an interesting lineup. You know, Bueno was a bolt out of the blue to be in there and given Traore his first start in the middle. Johnny, what were your thoughts on it?
The lineup, the lineup
and the game as well. We do both.
Yeah, the lineup was good, I thought. I was happy that Matinho was dropped. I think he's been quite poor the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Adam up front deserved a start after Forrest, I thought. Podence was, we kind of don't really have anyone else really. I'm surprised Costa started. But no, on the game, poor again, like, really, isn't it? I thought Collins and Kilman were really, really shaky at the back. Semedo was absolutely dreadful. Worst player on the pitch for me. I think it's a poor reflection when Bueno comes in and is your best player. Like a 3-year-old academy player. And it's nothing against the kid, but it's poor when he comes in and shows the rest of the players up, really.
Yeah.
Podence was pathetic last night, throwing himself on the ground every time he got touched.
Yeah.
Like, the second goal came from him throwing himself onto the ground after a free that wasn't a free, like, you know?
Yeah.
It
was probably...
And just the way when we concede goals, we just seem to crumble. Like, there's no leadership. There's no get our foot on the ball and just kind of calm it down. The substitutions were highly unusual, even though Mateus Nunes, I thought, was very poor again last night. It was frustrating. Even after going 1-0 up and then the Neves free kick, like, that goes in, we're 2-0, all of a sudden we're kind of in the driving seat. But you can't come out in the second half in a Premier League game and start a game like that and just completely, like, switches momentum 1 minute into the second half, you know?
Yeah. I talk on it, particularly as I was saying last night, the lads on WhatsApp and that, like, particularly with the fact that it was their tip-off and to concede in less than 45 seconds after we tip off the game.
Just away from home, like, just keep it tight for 10 minutes and then away crowds start getting restless, you know? Like, when you're 1-0 up away from home, you have to manage those situations and getting caught out at the back post, you just can't do that in the Premier League.
Yeah, it was a bit, it reminded me actually of Chelsea's goal just before half time, that kind of the cross was put in very, very easily with no pressure on the crosser and a player then at the far post with a free header. You know, Mick, just your overall thoughts on the game, the lineup.
Well, I would have a fairly different view to what Johnny has said there. Number one, the young fella, young left foot, he should have started months ago. He's a player. Everybody has watched him. playing in the underage have been talking about his quality. Now, they were given out even before the start of the season when Bruno tried to put him out to send him out on loan.
Yeah.
Now, the thing, he was outstanding last night, but he is an outstanding player. He's a Spanish lad. He is quality. That's number one. Yeah. Over the other side, I think Semedo was absolutely superb in the first half. He was man-marking Saha. He'd done a great job. He'd done a great job on that. Now, then what happened was, I thought some of the football we played in the first half was the best I've seen in months. There's some great build-ups, and we could quite easily have been 3-0 up there. Now, I do agree with Johnny there. You know, we brought in Costa, and he basically is a passenger at the minute. Now, the thing was, he's after having two great chances, and he had a great one last night. All he had to do was touch it in, and he didn't do that. Then we had Neves hitting the post. That could quite easily have been 3-0.
But I suppose, okay? Mick, on the other side, I mean, Palace hit the post similar to Neves.
Let me finish me taking it. It could have been 3-1 up. But if that had gone in from Neves at halftime, we were sailing. And then, in fairness to, as you say, in the Premier League, these lads, the managers, they're no idiots. Nobody else has a Bruno. And what he done was, they made a switch at halftime and it cut his dope. And that's where the goal came from. What they done was, because Saha, let me finish, Tony.
Go on, yeah.
Saha wasn't getting a kick, influencing much in the first half. And what he done was, he switched him and he brought him back into the middle. Back into the middle. And when the game kicked off, what do you call it? We were caught dopey. And they attacked us on the right side where Saha came in. And in fairness, the goal that we got was a fantastic cross from the young lad, okay?
Yeah.
But you've got to hand it to the pass that their lad put in. And what do you call it? At the back pole. It was a brilliant cross. Iman buried it. But that wasn't for Semedo's fault, that first one. Bacardi was tracked the man back and let him go. And he got in behind him. What was happening was where the attack was attacking, where Palace were attacking from, Semedo was covering his two halves. And the other fellow behind him was Bacardi. You know, in fairness to you about Traore Bacardi, he had a fantastic first half, most of the first half. He got himself booked after five or six warnings.
Yeah.
And after he got himself booked in the early second half, the referee turned around and said to Neves, next time he's going off.
Yeah.
And he signaled the bench.
But anyway,
What happened then? They got the goal, and we all know at Palace, you know, it's a fantastic place for atmosphere. And they got from it. Again, they should have been two down. Could have been easy two down. They were back level. And shortly after that, then he had to make changes because your mom was going with the headaches. What do you call him?
Nunes.
And he was playing very well. What do you call it? Nunes.
Yeah.
And what do you call it? And which I didn't know about, but Traore was playing with an injury.
Yeah,
and that's where the three changes came there. We lost the footing for a long period, but we did come back in the last 20 minutes.
Yeah, but there's a couple of points on that, Mick. Like, I mean, number one is I thought the manager should have been setting us up for the second half to be a bit clever. That we're, as you say, 1-0 up in a place where it's a hard place for us to go to get a result. And straight away, like from our tip off within 45 seconds. They were level. They started the second half. We just didn't know what to do. There was nothing came from the side. Whoa. I'm just replying to what you said. I mean, we did not. The sideline did nothing. We said it. We had exactly the same start in the second half as we were the first half. We lost the ball. They scored a goal. 10 minutes into the second half, he took three players off. I mean, now, if this was Bruno managing that side last night, okay, I'm going to put a couple of scenarios to you, Mick, right?
Yeah.
Today he says Traore started the game injured.
Yeah.
Nunes had a head injury from the first half and he kept him on and he played him in the second half. You know, we knew the other Traore got a yellow card, so he was skating on a bit of ice. But to make those three changes, I mean, if a player's injured, he shouldn't be starting the game. If a fella has a head injury, he should have been. He went off the pitch, Mick. Sorry, hold on. You had 5 minutes. When he went off last night.
Yeah, so Tony, you ever go 10 minutes, haven't you?
We will. Sure. But no, Mick. When he went off last night, the camera zoomed on him. The lad looked like he didn't know where he was.
Who?
And Nunes, when he went off last night, he hardly lifted a hand to shake with the player. I mean, that guy must have been going around the dais for half an hour.
Should that happened in the first half?
Yeah. There's a couple of examples there where
there's head injury protocols now. He shouldn't have.
I know there is, Tony.
Yeah,
but I don't know what happened there. But obviously he had half time. He had issues, and as you say, Tony, you're dead right. He certainly wasn't 100%. But that wasn't what happened. What happened? We gave away that goal because they made a switch. And we didn't cop onto it. Now, if you had had Soyisa, you had had Cody there.
Mick, the manager didn't cop onto it, Mick.
Tony,
the manager didn't cop onto it.
They would have been hold on under it. Now let's go back to this is an under 18 manager who stepped in. Okay? It's his third game in charge. We had a fella for the last 18 months, which you insist should have got more fucking time. And now you're castigating the younger. He only stepped in to say it for himself, but what he has done, Tony. What he has done, he showed us two diamonds of players that we had. He wasn't afraid to stick them on the pitch.
And well, that was the game, Irish
fella. The other fella has won 1 out of 16.
Mick, we're not going back over Bruno's career. As we always said, we were giving him a chance. We wanted to give him a chance, Mick. And he got his chance.
I'm talking about where you're coming from. Now, you were, what do you call it? The thing is, we had a man, and you backed him, and even backed him the other week, that we should have given him more time. And straight away, we have another 18 manager comes in to help out. And all of a sudden, we're doing, the football we played last night, we haven't played that for months.
Mick,
and
we got to grips
in the second half.
We have, Mick. Were you at Spurs?
No, we haven't.
The first half in the game of Spurs, we destroyed Spurs in the first half without scoring.
No, we didn't. No, we didn't.
Mick, we did. You said
we
it yourself.
We did.
And in several games. I'm not saying, look, Bruno's gone. He was sacked.
I'm not going to get over the sports game. All I'm saying to you is that the man has been a breath of fresh air as what he's done.
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, I would agree.
He brought the two lads in. They were there, what you call it, for Bruno to use, and he never used them. He brought in, what we call it, we have Totti got in there. And the other fellow wasn't touching him. To me, he's done well. His job, what you call it, is to get the players doing. And you can tell you something. Watching that team last night, there was a lot of team spirit involved there, which we hadn't had.
I think we collapsed last night, Mick.
We collapsed in the second half as well.
Mick, one of your big points in the last while. Hold on, Mick.
We had three great chances, Tony, in the last 10 minutes of that game.
No, we didn't.
After we conceded two goals.
I understand that. But what I'm saying to you, after we had to make the changes in the middle of the park, okay, they were, for the next 20 minutes, they were fairly well on top, which sounds really, really, really hurting us after they went the second goal up. But we came back after them in the last 10 or 15 minutes where the fellas got their goal. Like, Collins should have fucking buried that one. Okay, would it have been offside? We don't go.
He was offside.
It was open.
Mick, Guedes was 10 yards offside.
But then, what you call it, took a very good save from the keeper. He got his touch to it to get it over the bar. Now, that was the last 10 minutes of the game.
That's not, Mick.
So we came back at them.
Mick, when we made the three changes, you could drive a bus down the middle of our...
You were saying
about the fact that we need a bit of steel, a bit of bite midfield. We brought on Moutinho, Hodge, and Guedes. You know, I failed to see where the bit of bite was coming
on,
from Tony? There, Mick. I mean, they're...
Who else should he bring on?
Well, that was his choice. He made the choice to bring those three on at the same time.
You know why he couldn't bring anybody else on? Because the previous manager had got rid of them fucking all.
Well, he could have brought Johnny on and pushed Bueno up into midfield.
Yeah. Huh?
you know, onto the wing. There was a few different things he could have done.
Why would he be able to do it?
But Mick,
he was getting his first game. Hold on a second. Mick, move to put Johnny in.
I wanted to move on to the manager. Hold on to the manager situation, and that this kind of leads into it, because what you were saying last week was that Lopetegui was the new man. He was coming in. That he had a say in the players that we bought, which to me would lead me to believe that he actually had a say in the players that left, because Fosun are a sell to buy. So we assume Lopetegui had a say. Hold on a minute, hold on. That's what you're saying.
Lost the dressing room. Everybody knows he lost the dressing room. Don't come along and start putting something up there that's not true.
But that's you said it last week, Mick.
No, I'm talking about what he done with Cody over in, what you call it, away on the trip away. That was disgraceful. That was disgraceful. There was no need to do what he done there.
That's all. That's well in the past, Mick. I'm talking about going forward, Mick, and the new manager. And the players, seemingly, that he had a hand in bringing to the club. And I assume he had, maybe Cody's the exception, but certainly he must have had a say in the other players that we let go. So, and now...
If
Dan Donker...
Soyuz was gone, what do you call it, Ned?
Yeah. He wanted to go. Mick, we've done that to death.
But the thing is, Tony, whoever takes the job, it looks like someone said is the chap that's up at QPR got the job. That's what they're saying at the minute.
Which I find bamboozling anyway. But there's been so many names thrown around. I mean, Lopetegui again, as I hinted at last week, I didn't trust that he would sign up, and that's the way it's turned out. So
that's two weeks ago.
He was Stephen Gerrard's assistant, wasn't he?
Bill.
In Villa.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Apparently, he was the brains behind Stephen Gerrard.
But that wouldn't be hard anyway. Sorry, lad. Sorry, Stevie.
He must be in parked up his arse, was he?
Double parked, probably, Mick. Anyway, Johnny, what's your thoughts on the managerial situation, if there is one at the moment?
Yeah, he'd be... Well, I've just reading up on him today. I listened to a piece on... your man Martinez, that's the Villa goalkeeper, who said he's the best coach he's ever worked with.
That's good.
To be fair to him, he's gone into QPR. They've signed barely any players and has got them up to fourth place. But look, it is a big step up, there's no doubt about it. But the way I look at it is, it's kind of a bit of a Potter situation at Brighton.
Yeah,
like
that's what I was thinking of, yeah.
He is well thought of. I even seen a tweet that he put out in 2019 calling Neves Fabregas-esque, and that he's a terrific player. So, look, he can see a player, obviously. Yeah. But he's coming into a club that needs results quickly. And if he's on the dugout for Sunday, you know, like a loss could just start off things toxically, you know. I think the board should have had a replacement. Like, they had 2 weeks of a break that Bruno was obviously, his position was obviously under consideration. So why they had to wait 2 weeks after West Ham to appoint a manager is just ridiculous, in my opinion. They should have had a manager ready for maybe not the game, the Chelsea game, but certainly they should have had a manager ready for the Forest game. The Crystal Palace game, because we knew these three games would be kind of critical in the season, you know. It's another failure by a board that just looks inept week after week after week.
Yeah. It seems that you know, getting rid of Bruno was the difficult part, which actually turned out to be the easy part, you know. So this is the harder part.
I said the only problem to Terry Connor, do you?
I'd say to you. The problem with the board, they're not prepared to go and pay for release clauses. You know, that's why they want to cut the fee. And I believe there was only £1 million release clause for this fella. That's all it is. And that may be attractive. Now, I've got the guess, lad. As you said, Johnny, I read a few bits and pieces, but it depends where you're reading them from. Now, I hope what you're reading is the truth. You know, that we are reading is the truth. But we haven't got a clue. And you know, we get behind him. But I do believe that whoever has it, that the players are in a far better shape in the last couple of weeks. But he does have, whoever gets it, they're certainly going to have to get a bit of strength into that side come January. And, yeah, you know, the one beauty coming up is that after the next game, one or two days, it's about 4 or 5 weeks, the new manager has time to start working with the players, see what he has, and get something in. That's all we can hope for. But I certainly was fairly impressed with what I seen last night. And what did impress me was after losing control of the game in the second half, we came back in the last 10 or 15. They were hanging on at that stage. And that to me was a good sign. And the other good sign, as far as I'm concerned, I've looked at two good players there now. I've looked at that young Irish fella he brought in, and I've looked at that young Bueno. And they're going to add to the squad, without doubt, I think, you know.
Well, I'll agree to disagree with you, Mick, on our second half performance last night. But you know, so
well, that, it's hard to know.
What'd you say?
That doesn't surprise me.
But we've 4 games left. I'm just hoping that before the World Cup, and I'm hoping that we pick up something, hopefully starting on Sunday, that we'll pick up a few points here and there. Because I suppose Arsenal being the last game, we can give it everything before the World Cup. But we've Brighton after Leicester, and we've Brentford
before the World Cup. You know, like we need points quickly.
Yeah.
What do you think the chances are? You know, the Real Madrid coming back from Jimenez could be back shortly.
Well, funny, in commentary last night, it was mentioned, they were talking just during the second half, and they mentioned about Jimenez being having the groin injury, and they said something about him chronic fatigue as well that he was suffering from, which I hadn't heard that anywhere.
He fell out with the manager.
I think he'll retire after the World Cup.
Yeah,
you think so?
I have a feeling he's.
Yeah, Mexico are just getting him ready for the World Cup, and then he'll retire. Chronic fatigue must be that he can't do it anymore.
Mental fatigue, you know, that he's just.
It's possible. Yeah.
He hasn't been able to. To recover from
it. You could be getting serious headaches. You wouldn't know.
Yeah, without doubt, you know.
Well, I hope he's not watching us the last few weeks then.
But you see, it's like everything else. It's a brain, you know. It basically, he had a brain injury, and you know,
People look at him and he's running around the pitch and think, yeah, he's grand. Like, but sure, you don't know what's going on, you know. And
look, my daughter has the same. You know what I mean? Mm. And you know, looking, she looked okay, but she had a brain injury, always carries something wrong. And it is possible. Plus the fact he did become a parent, didn't he, twice? And I hope not, but I just have the, well, I believe he's due back into Wolverhampton shortly anyway.
Good.
Bit's obviously working.
So so I suppose we'll wrap it up at that. Hopefully we'll get something from Leicester. We'll get a win from Leicester on Sunday. So Tony, Mick, you're over, yeah?
Yeah, I think there's a 9:15 flight I'm on this week.
I'm a bit earlier. Johnny. What do you think? Will we get something out of it?
I'll be, just a win really again, isn't it? It's another big game for us. You lose against Leicester, and the whole league is fucking laughing at you. Like, and we don't need that at the moment.
Yeah, hopefully everyone will be up for it anyway. An extra day's rest from everyone else anyway, with the match being last night. So hopefully that'll be enough. Okay, guys, Mick, Tommy. Johnny, thanks a million.
Cheers, lads.
See you. All right then, Tony, okay?
Yeah, we'll see you. Talk to you the weekend.
I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.